You know, it's like the song says, and actually next week we're going to talk a little bit about Days of Elijah in the sense of, remember they asked Jesus, I thought Elijah was supposed to come before the Messiah. And he said, he did come, you guys just didn't know it. And then they realized he was talking about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is not Elijah reincarnated. Let's get that straight. Because I've heard people say that before. But, you know, there's a herald. There's a messenger that comes to make the path straight. And I think next week we're going to talk about that. Because, you know, in this Advent season, it's a good time to think about John the Baptist, because he's the transition of from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's an Old Testament-like prophet. He's a wild-looking dude. He wears weird stuff. He eats weird stuff. And he proclaims repentance, proclaims the kingdom. As we're going to find out, I think next week, the Greek translation there means he has a loud, startling voice, which our translation says, you know, he proclaims or he shouts out. It's a loud, startling voice. And we were talking about this earlier, and it's interesting because, of course, his father, Zacharias, was struck dumb by the angel. And then, you know, 30 years later, his son John, Yochanan in Hebrew, has this loud, penetrating, sharp voice that proclaims the kingdom and gives a really good sermon to everybody who's standing around. And he's not worried about being politically correct. He's not worried about anybody's feelings. He's not worried about anybody's self-esteem. He tells them they have to repent because the kingdom is here. So we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah has prophecy after prophecy of Messiah. Oops, what happened? Oh, here we go. So we're going to go to chapter 11. And I'm just going to read it. I know it's small here. If you have a Bible, that's good. If you have it on your phone or you brought a scroll or you have an iPad. Because remember, Isaiah's a major prophet. He's got 66 chapters. He's my favorite major prophet. And, you know, in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus goes to the synagogue at Nazareth, it says they handed him the scroll of Isaiah. So, you know, the minor prophets are all in the same scroll, and the Torah is all in the same scroll, but then each major prophet has their own scroll. Not that that's important to us because we don't have scrolls, but you have to think, like, in those days, nobody would have a complete set of the scriptures. At least you wouldn't have it at your house, because you'd have to have a whole bunch of scrolls. You didn't have books, didn't have a printing press. Not even most synagogues probably didn't even have a complete set of scripture, because remember, everything had to be hand copied. It would take forever to hand copy Isaiah. That's some of those minor prophets somebody could do real quick. But the major prophets. So Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod, capital R, from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion, and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. A nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to his people. For the Gentiles will seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Whew. First of all, everybody here has some scripture knowledge, right? Do we all know who Jesse was? Well, is. He's still living. Jesse, of course, was David's father, right? And why do we care about that? Well, Israel wanted a king. You know this story in 1 Samuel. Samuel, Shmuel in Hebrew, was a prophet, a major prophet. He was the last of the judges. Remember the period of the judges. And after, we talked about this when we were in Exodus, and we're going to be going back to Exodus after the new year. But remember when we were in Exodus, God said, you're going to be different from all the people. You're going to be separate from all the people. You're going to be a holy people. You're going to be my inheritance. You're going to be my special people. You're not going to be like all the other people. Right? When you go to Canaan, when you go to the land, don't have anything to do with the people who live there. Don't marry them. Don't do business with them. And especially, don't go to church with them. Because they're going to take you to places that are going to be bad for you. Right? So then at the time of Samuel, the people said, we want to be like everybody else. We want a king so we can be like everybody else. Isn't that amazing? They were supposed to be separate, but they wanted to be like everybody else. So long story short, Saul becomes the first king. He's a disaster. He's from the wrong tribe. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. The kings, are, of course, are supposed to be from Judah, which is the tribe of governing. And so God tells Samuel, this guy Saul, you know, I gave you Saul because you wanted him. I told you he was going to be a disaster. I gave you Saul because you insisted you wanted him. Because he was strong. He was taller than everybody else. He was handsome. He looked great in a uniform, looked nice in king robes. So that's why you wanted him. But now you're going to go to Jesse's house, and you're going to anoint the king who's going to come after him. Now, where was Jesse's town? Bethlehem. House of Bread. Bethlehem is David's city. Jesse is David's father. So he lives in a place called House of Bread. So you can kind of see the Messiah connected to that. Because everything, he refers to himself as bread a lot, right? So he goes to David's house, he goes to Jesse's house. The first boy, he's got seven sons, I think. The first son comes and Samuel says to himself, oh, this must be the one. Look at this guy. He's big, strong, handsome. He'd make a great king. God says, forget it. You're judging exterior. I judge the heart. This isn't the guy. So he goes through six of the sons. He says, you have any other sons? Oh, yeah, there's little David. He's a little guy. He's watching the sheep. So over comes David and gets anointed. And Samuel takes a horn of oil, which is what? Olive oil plus some perfume. Right? It's also called chrism in more modern times, but it's anointing oil that's usually here when the nativity scene isn't here. But priests were always anointed. Then they started to anoint the kings. So it says, when Samuel anointed David, the Holy Spirit fell on him and never departed. So that's pretty cool. So Jesse is his father. Now, what does David have to do with the Messiah? The Messiah is the son of David. Right? How many people have heard that? Everybody's heard that. That's one of the great messianic titles. And why is he called the son of David? Because in 2 Samuel, I think it's chapter 5. No, it might be 7. I can't remember. But David wants to build God a house. And God says, no, I'm happy living in the tent. You're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. And your throne is never going to end. And from you, from your loins, from your biological body is going to come the shepherd of Israel. And he's going to sit on your throne, and his kingdom is never going to end. Never going to end. So Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, sits on the throne of David. He's the son of David. In a biological way, too. He's descended from David. Right? So, Jesse's his father. So Isaiah says, a branch is going to come from Jesse. The Hebrew word there means a small shoot. You know, when a plant starts to grow and there's a little green shoot with a dopey leaf at the top? That's the Hebrew word. It's a little shoot. It's a small, weak little thing. It doesn't have wood on it yet. It's just green. And this weak, small shoot that's going to come from the stump, from the trunk of Jesse, is going to overcome the powers of the world. Remember, in his weakness, power is perfected. In our weakness, his power is perfected. Right? You want to go fight the Midianites? They got 100,000 men coming. I want you to have 300 to fight them. You want to leave Egypt? No weapons, just follow me. Right? In our weakness, his strength is perfected. His strength is exhibited. Because if Gideon would have had 10,100 men and won the battle, it would have looked like Gideon won the battle. Right? But God won the battle. So this little weak shoot is going to overcome the powers of the world. And it says the Spirit is going to rest on him. Now, in Isaiah 61:1, is actually what Jesus read that day in the synagogue at Nazareth. The Spirit of God rests upon him. He's the anointed one. The Messiah means the anointed one. This shoot is going to have the Spirit of God resting on him. He's going to be the fullness of the Godhead. Right? Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus of Nazareth. You might have seen a baby. You might have seen a little kid playing. You might have seen a teenage Jesus learning how to be a carpenter. You might have seen 25-year-old Jesus working as a carpenter. You might have seen 33-year-old Jesus being led to the cross. But what you saw was a man, but the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him, in this shoot that comes from the trunk of Jesse. And early in his ministry, he was in this synagogue. And after he read the passage about the Spirit resting on him, what did he say? You all know this. He said, today, in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled. That was his whole commentary on the reading. One sentence. I'm guessing the rabbi there didn't really like that. And if you read that passage, there's like a pause where everybody's looking at him going, what did he say? And then all of a sudden they say, hey, wait a minute. We know his father and his mother. We know where he lives. We know he has the third house over on the next street. What is he talking about? He can't be the person that Isaiah is talking about. But the Spirit rests on him. He's anointed by the Spirit. Mashiach means the anointed one. Christos means the anointed one. So he has all wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And he's not influenced by what men around him are saying. You know, when these men, like Pastor Steve here, and Pastor Dan, I guess, left, and Monica and whoever else preaches as clergy, they have to proclaim the truth and not be worried about what men think of them. Right? This is not about us. He's going to be preaching, not influenced by the opinions of men. He knows what his mission is. He knows why he's here. He knows what's going to happen. And he's going to judge with righteousness. Because everybody says, you know, Jesus was so sweet and so meek and so mild, and look how cute. Look how cute this little blonde Jesus here is. He's very cute. But in the book of Revelation, it says he comes with a sword coming out of his mouth and a rod of iron in his hand and fire in his eyes. I hope it's tonight. But he's going to have fire in his eyes. This isn't little meek Jesus who says, oh, pastor, you did such a great job at keeping your tax-exempt status. It was really great that you saved a couple of $1,000 that you would have given. No, he wants you to stand on the truth and preach it. If you have to pay the tax, you pay the tax. He's not influenced by the opinion of men. A rod comes from his mouth. You know, we're all going to bow when he comes, right? We're all going to bend the knee. It says everybody's going to bend the knee, Philippians 2, right? Everybody's going to bend the knee. We're going to bend our knee willingly, right? We're going to be excited. Some people aren't going to be excited. Well, that iron rod is going to break their knees until they bow. His cloak's going to be covered with blood. And guess what? It's not his blood. He doesn't have blood. Right? Spirit doesn't have blood. The glorified body doesn't have blood. So the rod from his mouth is true judgment. It talks about this in Revelation 12. And on that day, there's going to be the root of Jesse who's going to stand as a banner for the people. Remember, I think we did the talk here a few months ago about the banners in the camp. And every tribe had their own banner. And when you left the camp and you came back, like if you had gone to Walmart or you went to someplace, and you came back and you were from the tribe of Benjamin, you looked out and you looked for the banners of where the Benjaminites were, and you headed over there. Now, he's going to stand as a banner for the people. Now, it's talking about the root of Jesse is going to be the banner. He's going to be the banner. Who is he? Jesus, the Messiah. What's the banner? This is the banner. You know, in the book, The Song of Songs, it says his banner over us is love. The banner that stands for the people, all the people went to their banner. They went to where they belonged. The banner that stands over all the people is the cross. We're not from a tribe, right? We're all from different places here. Our ancestors were all a disaster, right? Worshipping all kind of gods and doing who knows what. But when they see this banner, now this is Isaiah writing 700 years before Jesus is even born. The Gentiles will seek him. Now what did the Gentiles have to do with the people of the covenant in Isaiah's time? Nothing. Not a thing. Right? You couldn't go prancing into the temple as a Gentile and say, hey, can I pray with you guys? Hey, can I come to your home group? Hey, can I do one of those sacrifices? No. You couldn't go even into the temple. You had to stay out in the court of the Gentiles. Even in Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and his family and his friends. A bunch of Romans. Holy Spirit falls on them. And they start praising and singing. He's got a charismatic home group, whereas a little while before they were just praying quietly. And what did the Jewish believers say? Hey, how come the Holy Spirit's fallen on those guys? It's supposed to be for us. How come these unclean Gentiles are dancing around singing and praying in tongues? We didn't think it was going to be like this. But the Gentiles are going to seek him because he's the banner. The cross is the banner. So just like when you came and you looked for the banners of Benjamin and you said, oh, there they are, I'm going to head over there, we're under this banner. So we know where we belong. The world's not telling you this is your banner. The world's telling you money, food, power, lust, greed. Those are your banners. Hey, wouldn't you like to be under this banner and have a lot of money and have a lot of lust and have a lot of stuff? And we say, no, we're under this banner. He stands as a banner, and the Gentiles will seek him. We talked about how he's the God of the banner. Jehovah Nissi, the God of the banners. The camps were so beautiful with the banners that when Balaam was hired to curse the Israelites, he says, oh, I can't curse them. They're beautiful. This is such a beautiful camp. He's on top of a hill looking out over this vast expanse of banners. Right? He says, I can't curse them. And he says this beautiful blessing, which is still said every Saturday in the synagogues. The Matovu. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, Israel. This was the guy the king hired to curse him. He was struck by this beauty. He saw the banners. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I'm going to draw all men to myself. He doesn't say, I'm going to draw the covenant people. He doesn't say, I'm going to draw the Bolivians and the people from Singapore. He says, I'm going to draw all men to myself. When he's lifted up, because a banner is lifted up. You know about the bronze serpent. Well, we'll do the bronze serpent sometime after New Year's. It's a very powerful teaching about how sin itself is put on a tree and lifted up. And if you look at it, you're cured of the curse. If you don't look at it, you die from the curse. We all live in the curse, right? There's a disease out there. Everybody's got the disease. And we know what the medicine for the disease is. We know what the cure is, right? So if you come and say, here's the cure, you're cured from the disease. If the guy living over there says, ah, that's just a bunch of nonsense, he's not cured from the disease. So he's going to be a banner for everyone. He will set up a banner for the nations. What's nations? Gentiles. And will assemble the outcasts of Israel, the dispersed of Judah, from the four corners of the earth. Sounds like a Paul Wilbur song. He's going to bring Israel too. The Gentiles are going to come to it, and then Israel is going to come to it. To the same banner. From all over the world. Where did the Jews used to be before 1948? All over the world. Right? They were dispersed everywhere. They just brought home 40,000 people from the tribe of Ephraim from northern India. They're gathering together. They're assembling the outcasts. They're assembling the dispersed of Judah. They're all over the world. And it says the Gentiles will seek him out. Did you ever think about that? We know Paul, when St. Paul went on his missionary journeys, you know, he was Saul, he was Shaul, he was a Pharisee, he was an on-fire Pharisee. He said no one was more zealous for the law than he was. No one. It didn't mean like 10% of the people were more zealous, or there were a couple of people. No one was more zealous than he was. And we know he persecuted the early church, right? He went to these places, and the Gentiles wanted to hear what he had to say. They waited outside the synagogues till he was done in there, and the people in the synagogue would reject him. Then he would come out and the Gentiles would say, talk to us. Because we want to hear what you have to say. the Gentiles will seek him. They're going to come to faith in the Jewish Messiah, although they had no idea what Genesis 3:15 was. They didn't know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. They had no idea about blood sacrifice. Well, they had their own blood sacrifices, but they didn't have any idea what was going on in the temple. And Isaiah, I love this guy, chapter 65. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. Our ancestors weren't asking for Jesus. Somebody came and told them, right? They didn't all get together in Europe and go, you know, maybe we should have one of those Jewish guys come over and tell us about the Messiah. I don't think that happened. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. The nation called by my name is Israel, okay? He's talking about the other nations. He's talking about the Gentiles, those who didn't ask for me. You think the people in Greece cared about Yahweh? They had all their own stuff. You think the people in Spain cared about Yahweh? They had their own stuff. People in Africa, any place you name. I was found by those who didn't seek me. And how were they found? Because he says, here I am, here I am. God calls out to them because he wants to bring everybody under the banner. Am I the only one who thinks this is awesome? Everybody to the banner. Remember, Jesus tells Peter, it wasn't flesh and blood that, you didn't figure this out because flesh and blood said something. My Father drew you. Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, he calls out, here I am, here I am. So a bunch of crazy Gentiles like this, Paul would have shown up here and started preaching, and they said, whoa, this is awesome. Plant a church here. We want to hang out with you. They weren't planning to get saved, so to speak. They were happy with their own gods. Right? I mean, they had a totally different religion. They had temple prostitutes. You know, you went to the temple and you got a prostitute because that was part of the worship. So there are probably a lot of men that says, well, that sounds like a pretty cool church. But no, all of a sudden, they hear somebody preaching about this, and the Holy Spirit calls to them, here I am, here I am. And they say, yes, we believe this. You remember it all through Acts. Paul goes to the synagogue first. Why? Because it was for the Jew first, and then the Gentile. So he follows the command. Then he goes out and talks to the Gentiles. His name shall endure, this is Psalm 71, his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. The root of Jesse, a green shoot. The nations are going to seek him. People who aren't looking for him are going to find him. And all the nations are going to call him blessed. Where did we hear that? The promises to Abraham. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The book of Hebrews, which actually is my favorite book, it says, kind of in a snotty way, Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead when they conceived Isaac. They were old. Remember, Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed. The angel said, why are you laughing? He said, I didn't laugh. He goes, I saw you laugh. Because she was old. So, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through Abraham. He was a 99-year-old guy who had his first kid. And all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through him? Yes. Because Messiah is going to come from him. The banner is going to come from him. The root of Jesse is going to come from him. And so it all comes from him. Paul sums it up. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this reason I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Ministry goes out to the Gentiles. Paul was the most fanatic Pharisee. He wouldn't have been caught dead talking to a Gentile. He would have been defiled. Right? How come everybody avoided the Samaritans? Because they were half-breeds. They were unclean. Jesus sat and talked to the woman at the well. You're going to go out and sing your name to the Gentiles. And God says, it is too small of a thing that you, now he's talking, this is the Father talking to the Son. Get to see where the letters are capitalized. It is too small of a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is the Father talking to the Son. Remember, it has pleased the Father to call him Lord, your throne, O God. This is the Father talking to the Son. In Psalm, I think it's 110, the Father says, your throne, O God. The Father calls the Son God, because, of course, he's God, co-equal in majesty, same consubstantial. But Messiah, as the God-man, is going to be a light to the Gentiles and bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That's why we're here. We're not still worshiping Jupiter. Well, you could probably find some kooky New Age people that are still worshiping Jupiter, but few and far between. Like our ancestors. Come on, that was a joke. Like our ancestors of a couple thousand years ago would have been doing. And so this root that comes from Jesse. I mean, imagine that. Through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Abraham then has a whole bunch of descendants. The promise goes through through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, follows the line, because of course Jesus Yeshua is from the tribe of Judah, right? Judah has the scepter. It's the tribe of government. Couldn't be a priest. You know, struck me last night when I was making some notes about John the Baptist that John the Baptist was actually a Levite because his father was a priest. But he never worked in the temple. He never preached in the temple like every good Levite would have. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. He couldn't have been a priest. If Jesus would have gone to the temple and said, I'd like to sign up to be a priest, they would have said, okay, who's your father? Who is his father? Oh, sorry. Wrong tribe. You can be a computer engineer if you'd like. You can be a farmer if you'd like, but you can't be a priest. He becomes the eternal high priest. So he teaches in the temple. He becomes eternal high priest. And he's not even a Levite. But the banner and the standard is what's important. Because like last week we talked about the people flowing up the mountain. The people are all flowing to their banner. And this is what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to celebrate in 2 weeks. And you're going to go out there and people are going to be talking about Santa Claus. And people are going to be talking about snowmen. And people are going to be talking about any number of things. And that's fine for kids. But what you have to think about is that God enters history by becoming incarnate. Didn't come to say, I want all of you to be good. He does want all of you to be good. Didn't come and say, you know what? If you do a really, really good job keeping these laws, you're in. No. He came to be the sacrifice. He entered history to reconcile even us Gentiles to God. Even us unclean, non-covenant people are drawn to that banner, and we're flowing up the mountain. Spiritual children of Abraham, and hopefully soon, the real children of Abraham, will all be going up the mountain together. Is that going to be awesome or what? Woo. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory for bringing us this unbelievable plan of salvation, of love, of mercy and grace that nobody could ever imagine, that no one could ever conceive of, that no one would ever be able to deduce the plan that through the weakness of your Son, salvation would be brought, not just to the people, but to us, to the ends of the earth, that because of the cross, because of this horrible, brutal sacrifice of blood, sin would be washed away even from the Gentiles, from all the nations. And the nations would come and be under the banner. The nations would come to you and turn to you and come with repentance and surrender. And Father, we give you thanks for all of this and these things that we can't even put into words, and for the outpouring of your Spirit, and for not sparing your Son so that the wrath would not be poured out on us. And we ask this in his mighty name. Amen. Anybody want to add anything? Yes.